podcasts of the WDWNT network are made possible each and every week by listeners like you and the following fantastic sponsors. Magical Travel is an authorized Disney vacation planner and is always ready to assist you in making your next trip to the Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, or board the Disney Cruise Line even more magical. You book a trip to the Walt Disney World Resort between November 1st, 2009 and March 27th, 2010, you could purchase 7 nights for the price of 4 at a Disney Moderate or Deluxe Resort. For more information on this special offer and many more, visit MagicalTravel.com and book your next Disney trip today. Resales DVC is your home for Disney Vacation Club resales. Whether you're buying or selling your part in the Disney Vacation Club, Resales DVC is prepared to walk you step-by-step through the process and make sure your experience is as pleasant as possible. For pricing, availability, and more information, be sure to contact Grandma Jackie and Kin at www.resalesdvc.com or by phone at 866-544-2919 to make your vacation dreams come true.
I'm not sponging for rum. It be gold I'm after.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-hey.
There's no turning back now.
Like a grand and miraculous spaceship, our planet has sailed through the universe of time.
Put up 2, 5, and 7.
Gorgeous, yeah!
Look at the guy in the goofy mask.
That's not a mask.
Sorry, lady.
I'm sure to do better next time. It was my first flight, and I'm still getting used to my programming.
You made it! I knew you would.
Hi, hello, and welcome. Welcome to our show.
Happy holidays, and welcome to the WDW News Today podcast, a variety show celebrating the Walt Disney World Resort and its many fans. At this time, please welcome your host, Tom Corliss.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the WDWNT podcast. This is episode 124 for December 21st, 2009. Kick off this week's show, we'll present a special holiday edition of one of our signature segments, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. And this time around, we'll be dissecting holidays around the world at Epcot. We'll follow up that segment by once again playing the official commercial for this year's Christmas Podcast Parade Spectacular, the same one we played on episode 123. And then, for the first time in our history, we'll preview a little bit of the special before its December 25th release by debuting one of the many commercial parodies from it. So what are you waiting for? Let's celebrate another week of Walt Disney World holiday fun on the WDW News Today podcast.
It's time to dissect Walt Disney World's attractions, shops, and restaurants as WDW News Today proudly presents The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly.
Welcome to a special holiday edition of The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly, where we tell you what's good, bad, and ugly about the attractions, stores, restaurants, and more of the Walt Disney World Resort, in our opinions. Joining me for this segment, we have Mr. Jason Diffendahl.
Hey, howdy, hey.
Chris, cookie la straps.
Feliz Navidad.
Hate to break it, but they don't give out cookies at holidays around the world.
Oh.
Mr. Brandon Struve.
Merry Christmas.
And newest member of our podcast team, Mr. Banksley.
Happy holidays.
Yes, happy holidays, everybody. So let's talk about holidays around the world. That's what we're going to decide the good, the bad, and the ugly of on this particular edition of the segment. So, Jason, let's start with you. What do you have as the good of the Epcot holiday offerings?
What I have listed as the good is the Candlelight Processional. I think that's it's an excellent show. Depends on the narrator you get. Sometimes it can be good. Sometimes it can be bad. Sometimes it can be ugly. But, you know, for the most part, it's a very good show. I think the Masked Choir is awesome. I think the music, the live music is fantastic. So I really like that show. It's tough to get into, and that's the only problem with it. Mm-hmm. I kind of got lucky one time when I saw it, and I was there about 5 minutes before showtime, and they had apparently, I guess all the people that booked the dinner package didn't show up, so at 5 minutes before showtime, they kind of opened up three rows at the very front of the theater, and I was lucky enough just to kind of walk right in and sit right down in the first row, which was great. So I know it's a hassle to get in a lot of times, but if you can get a good seat for it, it's fantastic. I think it's definitely one of the better live performances that you could get during the holiday, the special holiday live performances that you can get at Walt Disney World. And I mean, it's great that they have all the cast members in the Masked Choir and let them perform and be a part of that, because that's an awesome presentation.
And even sometimes our own Matt Paul gets involved.
Sometimes.
Mr. Crystal Straps, the good.
First off, the Christmas tree. Mm. I always love Christmas trees. And they always seem to do a good job of keeping the diversity of them around the park. So, you know, I'm a big fan. I think it looks great this year, too.
So you like the World Showcase tree?
I'm giving the World Showcase, yes.
Okay.
Big, big ups to the tree.
So also an impressive tree over at American Adventure.
That one, I like the World
Showcase.
Yeah,
it's not as impressive. Yeah, I would agree.
Than the American one. Additionally, the celebrity reader coming in, specifically the celebrity reader of the Candlelight Processional, I think is really cool. Yeah, sometimes you can get some not so great ones, but I think just the fact that you're having someone in and being involved in the show, I think adds a really cool element. And, you know, we have some that come back every year that do really well. I guess like John O'Hurley's been doing it for several years now, and you also get some new fresh blood in there. So I think it's a really neat way to diversify the show throughout the season. And attract some different people.
Mr. Brandon Struve, the good.
Well, first off, obviously the Candlelight Processional is the main attraction of holidays around the world. So I think that's amazing. Not going to say anything more that hasn't been said. But also, I think it's good because it keeps World Showcase fresh. They do this a couple times throughout the year with, you know, Flower and Garden, Food and Wine, and then the holidays around the world. It's just nice because it keeps a constant flow of different overlays in World Showcase and keeps it from getting stagnant, I guess. Not that that's really a problem, but if you go more than once a year, it's kind of nice to see a variety of different exhibits throughout the World Showcase. So I guess the holidays is a good one.
Yes, and you just saw your narrator was Anika Noni Rose, correct?
That's correct, and she was amazing, yes.
Yes, from Princess and the Frog. Go see it. It's in theaters now. Good movie.
I'm kind of bummed out that Kurt Cameron dropped out, though. I was really looking forward to that.
What is with everyone and Kurt Cameron? I mean, everyone's been going on and on all week about him, but...
He's Mike Seaver. Yeah, come on.
Should have been Candace Cameron.
Anyway... Banks, the good, before this gets ugly, the good of holidays
well,
around
of course,
the world.
I have to agree with everyone. Candlelight Processional is definitely one of the things everyone looks forward to with holidays around the world. But I'd like to add on that the special holiday ending for Illuminations is breathtaking. It's a perfect ending for a great fireworks show, and I love seeing it every year. It's one of the better things at holidays around the world, in my opinion.
Anything else?
That's all I got.
I'm just not used to the good being this short, but it is how it is around the world. Nonetheless, for my good, yes, the Christmas tree has been mentioned. We talked about the candlelight procession already. Banks brought up the Illuminations holiday tag. Just the decorations all around World Showcase I like. Obviously not Japan, because they don't decorate, but the rest of World Showcase I do enjoy very much. As well, the American Adventure Gingerbread House that's over in the Liberty Inn table service restaurant is always very cool to look at. And as well, you got to love the Voices of Liberty in their holiday attire. So that would be my additional good of holidays around the world. All right, now things are going to get bad, and we're going to talk about the bad of holidays around the world. Jason.
Well, I may upset quite a few people with this one, but I mentioned it, I think, last time we talked about the Lights of Winter. Was that on the live show? I can't remember.
Probably.
Now.
It was 24 hours. We had enough time to talk about it.
Yeah, we probably did. I'm going to go with the bad as the Lights of Winter. And not
I don't know if we can count it because it's not there.
Well, all right, fine. I'm going to count it, and then I'll come up with something else for bad.
Okay.
The Lights of Winter, I would say, is I just wasn't impressed with it. It really is like technology from 1985, and the fact that it lasted as long as it did with basically no update, I think is kind of embarrassing when you could have so much, I mean, you see so much more impressive lighting technology all over Walt Disney World. So the Lights of Winter, when it was up, it, in my opinion, was pretty bad. I mean, it filled a space that was otherwise dead, so in that case it was okay, but they really could have done a lot more. I mean, they could have had a fantastic overhead light show there. Yeah. You think about what they do at Osborne Family Spectacle of Lights, where some of the streets, they have lights overhead that do all sorts of cool dancing and things to the music. I mean, that's more impressive than the Lights of Winter, as far as I'm concerned. I never got struck by it, and it seemed kind of hokey to me. I mean, it was perfect. It was perfect like 1982, 1985 Epcot. Absolutely, it fit in perfectly.
Was it that old? I don't even know
if it was that old.
I think it only came in for Holidays Around the World when that began, and I think that began in 1994 or sometime in early 90s. I don't think it was even that old.
It was probably outdated by then. But I mean, when you think of retro Epcot, it certainly fit in with, you know, 1980s Epcot. Absolutely, without question, it fit in there. But as the 90s rolled around and rolled through and then into this, you know, the 2000s, and I'm surprised it lasted as long as it did, just because simply the technology was really kind of elementary. It wasn't anything impressive to me. So that's my bad. If you can't count that because it doesn't exist anymore. Well, I hear it's still out back of Wonders of Life. I don't know if that's true or not. So it sort of exists. You just can't see it lit up.
But that's like saying Body Wars exists.
Well, it did talk to Adam Roth. He insists that Body Wars is still there and operational.
There you go.
All right. So I'll come up with an alternate in case that doesn't fit the absolute criteria. Let me see, quick.
We can let you pass if you can't come up with
that. I can pass, because I might have a hard time.
Okay. Chris?
First off, I wouldn't necessarily classify it as bad, but it's not good either, so it's somewhere in between. And that would be the storytellers. I just, they don't really do anything for me, but I can understand why they're there. I'm sure the kids can enjoy seeing Santa and France as Pierre Noel and all this other stuff, and it also gives them the opportunity to focus on the other different holidays that are around the world. So it's just sandwiched right in there, and I don't have a exact place to put them. But my other bad would be that it starts so late compared to the other holiday celebrations at Walt Disney World. And frankly, the start date for this makes more sense than the others because it's after Thanksgiving and you get that kind of after Thanksgiving season going forward. But when you have it already kickstarted at the resort with a Very Merry Christmas Party going since earlier on in November, it seems like the whole resort should be going together as one.
Yeah.
So it's either all before Thanksgiving or all after. And I think there should be some uniform to it, because it seems almost strange to be celebrating Christmas at Magic Kingdom and at the studios. And then you go to Epcot, and even Animal Kingdom, which starts later as well.
I was going
to
say Jingle Jungle started the 27th this year, along with Holidays Around the World.
Right. So it's that disjointedness, which I think I would expect cohesiveness going on throughout the park. Because, I mean, you have that way when you have celebrations throughout the resort or any Halloween stuff, whatever you want to do it. I think it would be better. So it's not that it's – I guess it's not necessarily that it's starting later or starts after Thanksgiving. I don't have no problem with that starting after Thanksgiving. I just wish as a resort they would start things for – elite or within a week, maybe something. Maybe they all don't have to start the same day, but closer together.
Yeah. Brandon.
For my bad, I'd also say the storytellers. Like, I went into it thinking it was going to be like the different Santas from around the world having meet and greets with children and, you know, being magical.
They have a character handler with them and they sign autograph books.
It was just stupid. Like, I walked by, I walked by Norway.
You just insulted 11 countries, my friend.
Well, I walked by Norway, and there's Santa holding a broom and pretending to be Elvis on the guitar. It's like, what in the world does this have to do with Santa, Christmas, or Norway? I didn't understand it at all, so I gave up after Norway. It's like, well, Christmas at Epcot's ruined for me. Thank you, Norway Santa Elvis.
Alrighty then, Banks.
I do think that the storytellers are, you know, that it's holidays around the world, but they just lack. I don't know how to put it. What they lack.
It's hard to follow rock and roll Santa Elvis.
But the biggest bad thing for me would be that there, as the holidays around the world as a whole, there's a lack of a big draw to the events. Yeah. I mean, you pretty much just got candlelight processional and the special tag for illuminations that people know about, and that's it. That's all the people go there for. They don't know about the storytellers. There's just not enough there to experience, in my opinion. And I would love to see them even like extended into Future World, because there's nothing in Future World that's anything Christmas related. And it's just, there just seems to be a lack of Christmas at Epcot, in my opinion.
Yeah, Banks, you have the same bad that I have, is that not enough, and there's no big gatebuster Christmas offering here, or holiday offering. I mean, the holiday tag is great, but they don't publicize that holiday tag as much as they do, you know, any of the other offerings. Certainly not as much as the Christmas party and the Osborne lights, and even the parade over at Animal Kingdom. I think more people go to Animal Kingdom for the holiday parade than, if you take away Candlelight Processional, go to Epcot for holidays around the world.
Right. I mean, once people get to Epcot, they're going straight to get in line for Candlelight Processional. There's nothing that's like, hey, why don't we go do this and explore this first before we go see Candlelight Processional? There's just nothing to do.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they made a big deal about Lights of Winter, and I'll talk about that more in my ugly, but, you know, I don't think that made that big a difference in the overall scheme of things. I think I absolutely agree with Banks that there should be something in Future World. I don't know what exactly you tie in holiday-wise to Future World.
Well, there is. If you think about behind the Fountain of Nations, there's that little planter area, and they've got like 7 snowballs on poles that light up.
And the Divine Voices are performing on the stage at the back of the Fountain of Nations as well. So it is sort of getting into Future World, but it's not.
But not much,
I mean, other than the decorations inside Club Cool, there's nothing going on.
I would love to see them. I don't know what they could do, but just like what they did with Food and Wine and Flower and Garden, but open up Wonders of Life and have some sort of something going on in there Christmas related.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got the space.
That's not a bad idea as well. Why not put the Fountain of Nations to some holiday music?
Yeah.
I mean, just little things like that, I think, make a difference. And how about this? We put a giant gold, like, little topper on Spaceship Earth and make it an ornament. How about that?
Excellent.
Let the hate mail begin.
Really?
I'm already tired.
To ugly yet.
That, or we could put the Sorcerer's Hat on top of Spaceship Earth.
But... We just got rid of the ball. Let's stop putting.
I quit.
Big Santa hat on Spaceship Earth? Nah, that's enough bad ideas. Anyway, let's move on to the ugly. So, Jason, what is the ugly of Holidays Around the World?
Well, my ugly, and Brandon kind of stole it, and other people went along with it, was the what I call the imposter Santas around World Showcase.
Yes.
Brandon made a pretty good point that they really are sort of pointless. I mean, maybe they tell a story, but, you know, if I want to have story time, I'm going to take my kid to the local library. I'm not going to spend $75 to get into Epcot.
Or you can go to – that's true, but you could also go to Belle's story time at Magic Kingdom, for that matter.
That's true, too.
You know, but at least she's Disney dressed experience.
Up at least she's dressed – yeah, exactly. That's much more of a Disney experience. She's dressed up in something that my kids will recognize.
Yeah.
Not some guy that, you know, looks worse than the guy at the mall. And trust me, he doesn't look too good. I mean, it just sort of seemed kind of odd. And like Brandon said, you know, I get the point that they're supposed to be telling stories of the Christmas traditions of their home country. And, you know, they're supposed to be whatever. I don't know. It's fine. I just don't like it.
A personal preference than
anything. Oh, absolutely it is. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, if you're visiting from one of those countries, it would be really cool to see, you know, your Santa Claus type of person presenting a story about whatever they talk about. I don't want to knock it. It's just that for me, it doesn't do anything.
Because basically what everyone has said is they see the merit in it. It's just not something that, you know, anyone here wants to see.
I mean, unless you're really into, like, another country's history or something like that, or, you know, you're entertaining guests.
Yeah, the same crowd that enjoys the exhibits in China, Japan, and those kind of walkthrough exhibits and stuff will probably enjoy that aspect of Holidays Around the World, absolutely.
So are you saying that none of us enjoy those exhibits, too?
I guess not. I don't know. I enjoyed Tin Toy Stories, but unfortunately that's gone now.
I enjoyed the exhibit in China where they had like 600 million little clay soldiers.
Yeah, that's still there, I think. Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yep. You get to go in there for Kim Possible now, but that's a whole other story.
Don't give it away.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, so that's there you go. That's my ugly.
Okay. Crystal Straps.
Well, the first ugly should be fairly obvious. No cookies.
No cookies. There you go.
Unless you're going to count the ones that you have to pay for. And that's buy ridiculous. Cookies. Yeah, that's just... Who wants to do that?
Technically, I think you buy them at the Magic Kingdom, too, and they're probably a lot more expensive.
They're both included with... I'm thinking with included with gate admission, so...
Yeah.
So that's terrible. Just awful.
They have a gingerbread house. You can't eat it, though.
They should have... Allow people to eat that at the end of the holidays.
Now, you complain that it doesn't start early enough. The gingerbread house would not make it past the 27th.
I said at the end of the holidays.
Oh, okay.
Big New Year's Day eat fest. Second ugly is the fact that the lights in winter are gone. That's just, to me, awful. And you can tell me the technology is obsolete and they don't look as spectacular as the spectacle of dancing lights. I don't care. To me, lights are lights. They don't have to dance and do all this crazy stuff for them to be enjoyable. And I wouldn't expect anything dancing crazy in Epcot. Epcot is a little more sophisticated, and to me something like the Lights of Winter, a little more classic, fits there. And I think it goes well there. And I am upset that they're gone. Because they just need electricity to work. I don't care if they tell me they're obsolete. You plug them in, they turn on, boom, lights.
No.
Always. I mean, I have a string of Christmas lights that I plugged in, and only half of them came on. And I can imagine the Lights of Winter in a pile out back of Wonders of Life for 15 years. They might not be so good.
We shall see.
And may I just add that nothing says sophistication like rock and roll Norwegian Santa.
I mean, if there was maybe some Barbara Streisand music, that would make it all perfect.
Yeah, at a really fast tempo as well.
Okay.
Next, the fact that there is no special nighttime show. Yes, I know there's a touch of holiday magic at the end of Illuminations. It doesn't do it for me compared to having Holiday Wishes at the Magic Kingdom and having the dancing lights at the studios. I wish there was just some sort of special nighttime show there to go with it. I think they could do something. They could do something spectacular around the World Showcase Lagoon. And I think it's a cop-out that they just tack something on at the end of Illuminations as it is now. I think they could do better, and I think they should do better. And the final ugly is that there's developed this entire reliance basically on the candlelight processional to sell holidays around the world.
Mm-hmm.
They've just become so dependent on that.
I don't think they even try and sell candlelight processional. I think it just sells itself now. And, you know, they don't,
I think they,
in the marketing just, materials, you don't see holidays around the world mentioned all that much.
No,
I think they use candlelight processional to sell more dining at the World Showcase restaurants at a higher price.
Yeah.
That's true too. So these combined in my ugly point of the fact that this is just a dearth of holidays around the world, a dearth of stuff there, and they should be doing more. And it doesn't even seem like it deserves a special title. It's just like, oh, there's some stuff at Epcot. Go see it.
Brandon Struve.
Well, I completely agree with that. My ugly is that basically it's just a half-baked attempt at a holiday offering.
Mm-hmm.
When you compare it to the other parks, the studios and Magic Kingdom, I know Animal Kingdom doesn't do a lot, but they even still, you know, even Hester and Chester's Dino-Rama is Christmas-themed.
That's true.
Better than Epcot is. The fact that Future World has nothing, but they still play Christmas music, is kind of weird. It's just odd walking under Spaceship Earth and hearing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And there's no, it'd be one thing, you know, if it was all decorated for Christmas, but it's not at all. So that's kind of weird.
Telling you, let's make that giant ornament thing happen.
And then the other thing, like half of the countries in the World Showcase don't celebrate Christmas anyway. So it's just kind of a few handpicked, countries that do, and the others are kind of left out and darkened, and it's just weird. And I really think with Epcot Christmas, they should either go all or just don't do it. Either have a full out, you know, great Christmas celebration. Cause like everyone said, there's a lot of potential. I agree. A holiday illuminations, a complete holiday illumination show could be amazing. The Fountain of the Nations, I mean, Mannheim Steamroller, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, they've all put out great music that would go awesome with that fountain.
That technology's already there for that fountain, which, you know, that wouldn't be hard to do. And I'm kind of surprised that up till now they still haven't done that.
Yeah.
I would agree, absolutely.
So, yeah, my ugly is that it's not done well, I guess.
I think we need to pitch some holiday attraction overlays to Disney, like Spaceship Earth Holiday. No, just Judi Dench singing Christmas carols through the ride.
Oh, boy.
Test track holiday. It's coming. Anyway, thanks.
You know, everything that I thought of for ugly has already been said. I mean, it's just the performers. I mean, I got a fiance who is in entertainment, but if you take a look at some of those performers, it's just, whoa.
Yeah,
I mean, I have really nothing to add on. Everything that's been said is just spot on about the holidays around the world. I really have nothing more to add on about.
I just want to mention that I actually forgot there's already a Future World attraction that has a holiday overlay. Anyone know what it is? Soarin'.
Huh?
The end of Soarin' is Disneyland during the holidays.
Oh,
so
God.
There you go.
That's not an overlay.
There you go.
That is not an overlay.
It's an overlay of Disneyland that's in the film.
Wow.
That's always holidays. You get holidays around the world every day on Soarin'. there you go.
It's not around the world. It's only in California.
Holidays around California now at Epcot.
Wow.
You think they'd have that in a park named after that state? Anyway,
you know, now that you say that, Disney's going to start putting stuff in their guys now, saying Soarin' has a special holiday ending. Get
that's
them
right.
To come in,
Soarin' Concourse Mistletoe.
Wow.
Yes. Before this gets any worse, my ugly cutting offerings. There's nothing worse than taking a holiday event that's already lackluster compared to the rest, and then cutting number one, the unsung hero. Of holidays around the world that was cut last year was the tree lighting ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
And I was a huge fan of the tree lighting ceremony, and I'd actually make a point to be there when I was at Epcot during the holidays for the tree lighting ceremony. It's a very Disney show with the characters getting ready to turn on the tree. It was short, but it was very nice. Now the tree just kind of turns on at Epcot, and that was kind of upsetting. And now this year, you know, what has garnered a lot more attention has been the Lights of Winter removal, which I think actually is not as big a deal because I don't think the Lights of Winter was drawing people in. People weren't going over to World Showcase at 6:30 to watch them turn on Lights of Winter. It was to see the characters turn on the tree.
Yeah. Well, you also saw them turn on Lights of Winter because it was almost the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it was very close. Yeah.
But that's not what people were lining up for. And certainly, you know, I remember in the 90s, people stopping under the Lights of Winter to watch them, you know, dance and do whatever they were doing. But, you know, the last 5 to 10 years, I have not seen people even interested in what was going on right over their head. So I think the time has passed for that. Do I think they should have had a replacement ready right away? Absolutely. But I think we'll see something new in that area eventually, and hopefully it'll be nicer.
Meet and greet Santa buddies.
Yeah.
Oh God.
we were gonna try and end this thing on a positive note, but you could not allow that, Chris. All because they don't have cookies.
Cookie here.
They don't have cookies. And I invite you to go after the holiday season and try and eat the gingerbread house because you'll lose all of your teeth. So there you go. All right. And with that, we have discussed the good, the bad, and the ugly of holidays around the world at Epcot. Please go to it. It's not that awful. Happy holidays, everyone. I'm the host of the WDW News Today podcast, Tom Corliss, and I'm being joined by the host of A Window to the Magic, Mr. Paul Barry.
And we're here today to talk to you about a very serious matter. Sure, we all like to have a good laugh every now and then, but there's a silent demon stalking this community. Addiction to Disney pins and Vinylmation.
What? No, Paul, we're here to talk about something much, much more fun. Just around the corner is the WDWNT Network's presentation of the 3rd annual Christmas Podcast Parade. It's fun for all and a great holiday tradition.
Oh, Tom, I think you're in denial, buddy.
This is not the time for that. Anyway, the parade this year is going to be bigger and better than ever, and we're going to have appearances by some celebrities and some famous voices from around the Disney online community.
Tom, what is that you've got right there?
There's nothing there, Paul. So be sure to join us on Christmas Day for the parade. To tune in, you could either visit us online at www.wdwnewstoday.com or subscribe to our show on iTunes by searching for the WDW News Today podcast.
No, let me see that. That's a bag of pins, isn't it?
It will be a joyous and hilarious celebration, the Christmas Podcast Parade.
Tom?
Listen, Paul, I can quit anytime I want. I just don't want to.
The 3rd annual Christmas Podcast Parade. Coming to your ears, December 25th, 2009. We'll see you there.
Back. Why does my back hurt after every time we ride Matterhorn bobsleds?
Yeah, does anyone have any aspirin? I sure need some.
Hey, everybody.
Harold the Abominable Snowman!
That's right. I came down from the Matterhorn as soon as I heard your problem.
Are you gonna eat us?
Of course not. You don't have to be scared. I was always a little crabby when a bobsled came by. But that was before I started taking Yetiprofen, brand all-natural pain reliever. Early every morning before park opening, I would ride the Matterhorn to get up to my spot, and every morning, I would get horrible back pain. That's why I would be so miserable and angry-looking every time you would pass. That's all in the past, because since I started taking Yetiprofen, brand all-natural pain reliever, I'm feeling great.
Can I see that bottle of Yetiprofen?
Sure. Not only is it great for backaches and pains, but also for headaches you might get from staring at people with glaring red eyes.
All right, give me one of those, Jason.
I wouldn't take one of those whole.
Why not?
It says on the bottle they're 800 milligrams.
Yeah, those are strong enough for a Yeti, so I suggest you break them into fourths before you take one.
Uh-oh.
Be sure to pick up a bottle of Yeti Profen brand all-natural pain reliever today, available at any pharmacy in the Swiss Alps area. For your reference, not that anyone cares, the ingredients in Yeti Profen brand all-natural pain reliever are as follows. Acetylated monoglycerides, turkey leg bones, pre-gelatinized starch, Skyway bucket paint chips, sodium lauryl sulfite, shredded mountain climber, high fructose corn syrup, and natural bacon's flavor.
Help.
Remain seated, please. Permanecer sentados, por favor.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like that is going to do it for episode 124 of the WDW News Today podcast. As always, I would like to thank you for listening. You make the show possible and worth doing each and every week. Also, from everyone here at the WDWNT Network, we'd like to wish you a happy and healthy holiday season. But don't worry, we've got a lot more scheduled before the holidays are over with. Of course, you cannot forget Christmas Day, just a few days away, December 25th, 2009. It's the third annual Christmas Podcast Parade. Our annual comedy show is back once again. And it's going to be a big one, I absolutely promise. So make sure you tune in. You don't have to tune in on Christmas Day if you're busy for the holidays. It will simply be released that day. So it'll be like a normal episode. It will be episode 125 of the show. And just make sure you join us at some point for that episode because it is going to be a lot of fun. And I'm pretty sure you could tell that from the preview we just played on this week's show. It's now time for the big finish, giving you all of the useful reminders you'll need to know in the coming week. Send us any questions, suggestions, comments, or concerns. You can email us at wdwnewstoday@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail message at 206-666-2982. Do not forget to leave us a review on iTunes. It's a great way to let others know that there's an enjoyable Walt Disney World podcast out there for them. Be sure to visit the WDWNT Network community forums to vote for upcoming segments and to view the show notes for this and previous episodes. Do not forget to follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/WDWNT, and as well make me a friend on Facebook at facebook.com/WDWNT. Do not forget about WDWNT The Weekend, coming August 26th through the 29th, 2010, to the Walt Disney World Resort. Details on that event coming early 2010, including the opening of official registration. And that will be at WDWNTTheWeekend.com. Make sure you are signed up for the newsletter, and you'll be the first to know. Coming up on next week's show, I already said it, no more needs to be said. It is the third annual Christmas Podcast Parade 2009. Be there, I promise you will not regret it. And since I just previewed next week's epic show, that means that this week's is officially over, and I can indeed end it with the corniest catchphrase in all of podcasting. That's going to do it for this week. See you all next week. See ya real soon.
From all of us to all of you, a very Merry Christmas. Good night. Glow, hold it close as it surrounds you. Let it cover you with love like a gentle snow. Oh, you know it's Christmas. Share it all with you. Now that Christmas has finally found us, may our hopes and dreams and wishes come true. Hear them laugh, feel their joy, see them smile from ear to ear. 'Tis the magic of the season, may it keep us ever young from year to year. Oh, so glad it's here.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the WDW News Today podcast. Be sure to tune in again next week and visit the entire WDWNT network online at WDWNT.com. This is Brian Summer saying goodnight and have a pleasant holiday season.